Today we're going to be going through James chapter 5, verses 12 through 20. And we're going to look at our words, the words we speak. The words we speak are very important. They can really bring life, or they can bring death. And that was said earlier in this same book. James is thinking about the words we speak, and he's encouraging, exhorting, and challenging his readers to speak words that really, truly bring life. Now, it's important. We do speak a lot of words. They say the average male speaks, 7,000 words a day, which is a lot of words. So we need to use them well. Guess how many the average female speaks? 20,000. 20,000. So the women, the ladies among us have a greater opportunity to use their words for good. So I'll put it that way. So the words we speak are very important, and may they be used to bring God glory. Let's make them count. Background for this book, it's a book about practical Christian living. So our words are very much within the scope of practical, everyday living out the faith. Topics include trials, having joy in the midst of trials, the good works that are supposed or need to reflect the good and genuine faith that we have, our tongues, and so our words have already been talked about, but our tongues earlier in this book, wisdom, as far as wisdom from above, not wisdom from this world, but wisdom from above is where to live by. Our enemies, the world, the flesh, the devil, our enemies are never people. Really. I mean, people might be against someone, but ultimately there's a spiritual battle behind the scenes. So our enemies are the world, the flesh, and the devil, and we need to stand strong against all of our enemies. And then we see humble living, humble planning, humility sprinkled throughout this wonderful book. And so the conclusion is today, and he goes back to words and various words, prayers, other kinds of things that we can speak. So please stand for the reading of the word, James chapter 5. Starting in verse 12 and going through the end of the chapter. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for this book, and I pray that we would take it to heart. Lord, we want to speak words that bring life. We want to know what to do with our tongue that can be fruitful and be a blessing and further your kingdom. And so I pray, Father, that you would teach us, Lord, through this passage. I thank you for your word. It's so rich and so just full of wisdom. And we submit ourselves to you and to your word. And we pray that you would govern our lives. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. So the words we speak. Various kinds of words that are here. There's five types of words we'll highlight as far as in this passage. One are words of commitment. Or one type is words of commitment. And that's in verse 12. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. In other words, above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. So this is a call to just speak simply. Let your yes be yes, your no be no. very straightforward. Doesn't have to be very elaborate what we say. We don't have to make an oath according to the throne of heaven or do anything else that's either dramatic or somehow full of fanfare. And James is saying and echoing basically Jesus's sentiments. Simply say yes or no, and then be faithful to do the things that we have actually committed ourselves to doing. So very straightforward, very honest. That's what James is getting at. Let's be honest. Let's be straightforward. And let's be people of our word. So that's one kind of words that are spoken. Another kind is prayer, words of prayer. And there's various prayers that are in here. One is prayers of suffering in verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. So the people who James is writing to, these are dispersed Jewish believers in Jesus Christ scattered throughout the Roman kingdom, the Roman Empire. And persecution is a huge part of what they've been and are experiencing. And he's saying in the midst of what you're going through, the suffering that you're going through, and for us, whether it's persecution or trials that we go through or whatever, but in the midst of all of that, cry out. Cry out. Let him pray. So in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of our heartache, let's pray. Let's be people of prayer. Very easy to become bitter. Bitter against God. Bitter against anyone who we feel has hurt us, either has in reality hurt us, or we perceive that that person has hurt us. Let's not become bitter. In our suffering, let's cry out to God and say, Lord, I'm hurting, I'm suffering, I cry out to you at this time. I pray. I'm going to be a person of prayer. Another type of prayer, words of prayer, there was prayers of suffering, there's prayers of healing also. Verses 14 and 15, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. So prayers of healing. Now again, the people who James is writing to, dispersed, Jewish believers, persecuted, going through tough times, are probably weakened by the suffering that they're going through. And there's sickness and there's just difficulties that they're actually facing. And he's saying, if that's your situation, is there anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. So ask the elders of the church. Come before them. Submit yourself to them and say, I need your prayers. I want your prayers. And the elders, one of their jobs is to love the sheep and to pray for them when they're hurting and when they're sick. So we have a path. If we're sick, we can do something about it, and that's ask the elders for prayer. Let them pray over him, it says in verse 14, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. We anoint with oil. We actually take a dab of oil and put it on a forehead or anoint the person with oil. And there's nothing magical about the oil. It's not a formula, but the oil is symbolic, representative of the presence and the power, the healing power of the Holy Spirit. So that's why we do it. It's representative of the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit. The prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. If he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. Sometimes our sicknesses may be related to things we've done in our past. Someone who has cirrhosis of the liver, it may be because of drinking they've done in the past or something else as far as a connection. And so the sins and the need for healing, they're often tied together at the same time. If anyone's sick, we don't want to be Job's friends and say, well, this is why you're sick. It's because you've done this and that and that. And so we don't want to be accusing a person if they're just going through a tough time or the fallenness of humanity, the chapter that we're in right now prior to Christ's return. We end up having sicknesses and other things that are part of the package at this time. And so prayers of healing, ask God, he heals. Now, it says here in verse 15, and the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. So very interesting. It's like, whoa, so God really does answer prayers. And if someone's sick and the person's prayed over, healing is possible. In fact, here it says healing basically is the Lord will heal. It's a promise. Now, someone might say, well, then why am I discouraged? Because I've gone before for prayer and I've asked for prayer and I didn't get healed right away. It's like, well, there's nothing here in the text that says you will get healed right away. You leave the timing up to God. If we're asking him for healing, he will heal. A genuine believer will be healed of his or her sicknesses and diseases. And so sometimes the healing is instantaneous. God gives us a glimpse of our eternal state and our new bodies, and he gives us a glimpse on this side of eternity, and he heals us. He graces us with a healing that's manifested or it's there for all to see. And so sometimes it's instantaneous. It's a miraculous work of God instantaneously brought about in our lives, and that is wonderful to see that. Other times, it's a process, and somehow God uses a process. Someone could say, well, show me the scripture and verse on that. Well, remember the time when Jesus was opening the eyes of a blind person, and he said, hey, you see anything yet? And the person said, I sort of see people walking around. They sort of look like trees. And he basically lays hands again, or sort of part two of the healing work, and all of a sudden, the person could see very clearly. So it was a process. Jesus himself used a process. So sometimes there's a process in our lives. God will heal us, but sometimes there's a process. Other times it may be a lengthier process. Remember the lepers who went their way and then they were healed on the way. And it was like, boy, they weren't healed right away. They were healed as they went their way. And so it was after the fact. And so sometimes it might take some time. As far as God doing healing over time. I'd be perfectly frank with you. Sometimes God uses doctors and he uses hospitals and he sometimes uses natural, practical wisdom as far as medical wisdom, to be part of the cure. Remember when Paul said to Timothy, he said, hey, take a little bit of wine because it'll be helpful for your stomach at this time. If sickness was like never part of God's will, he would have said, you bind and loose that stomach, you know, the stomach problems you've been having. You stand strong. You've been in sin, Timothy. And it's like, that's not what he said. He said, you got some issues? You know, take some wine for it. I think that'll help you. And so sometimes there's practical kinds of things in this too. So don't necessarily discount doctors. Don't discount necessarily the need for surgery at times or other kinds of things. But if God wants to heal us supernaturally, that is an awesome thing. So let's let him do whatever he's going to do. And someone else could say, well, just a second. I've been asking for healing, and I know that it could be a process. I've been waiting, but it's been so long. And it's like, okay, well, leave the timing up to God. You don't know how long it's going to take, as far as for it to be manifested, for it to actually take place in your life, as far as you to be able to sort of see and hear the healing or see it and observe it. But remember that, again, it's a timing issue. It may be the other side of eternity. When we meet our Maker, when we come to the end of our life, whether it's soon or whether it's later or whatever, when we come to the end of our life, we will be given new bodies. So there will always be the promise of healing that is available to us, because genuine believers will have new bodies, and those new bodies are perfect in every way. And so for someone who says, well, just a second, I never have gotten healed. It's like, well, you just stand strong. Healing is just a timing thing. In the great scheme of things, it's a timing thing. And our lives here are blips of time. They're vapors. They're fast. It goes over very quickly as far as our lives. And so who knows? The healing could be the other side of eternity. You might say, well, that's a cop-out, Dave. It's like, I don't think so. I personally don't think so. I think sometimes that's when we actually experience the healing. Otherwise, every issue someone's ever had, it's because of their lack of faith. And everyone who has that theology ends up getting very discouraged and usually very hurt after a while. Someone who says, it's God's will, you never have any sickness. And it's like, really? And then that person always ends up dying. You know, if they have a following and say, yeah, that's great. And then they die at some point, and then everyone gets discouraged. It's like, why did our founder die? And it's like, it's because on this side of eternity, there is sickness, and that's part of it, and the human condition. So let's just stand strong in God's promises and just say, Lord, I come before you for healing. I'm hurting. I'm in need. I'm sick. I'm in need of healing. And Lord, I leave the timing up to you, totally up to you. So those are prayers of healing. So he's words of commitment, then words of prayer. We looked at prayers of suffering, prayers of healing, not for prayers of faith. And there's some overlap here as far as we pray for someone to be healed, and that's a prayer of faith. But let's take a look in verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. In other words, it's effective and it's fervent and continued. And it's a righteous man, someone with right standing before the Lord. And that's what Jesus gives us. And we walk in that. And that avails much. It's very profitable. And then Elijah, he was a man with a nature like ours. He was just like us. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. So he basically stopped up the heavens as far as the rains, and remember his interaction with the king, the wicked king. And he said, hey, here's a consequence of all of the disobedience that Israel has actually done at this time. So 3.5 years of drought. And then verse 18, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So 3.5 years later, he prays again, and the floodgates of, you remember the little cloud, and it starts appearing, and it's like, whoa, and all of a sudden it's actually just looked like a fist on the horizon, and all of a sudden it's just taking over, and it's this big, huge storm. The rains have returned to Israel. The earth produces its fruit. So prayers of faith, the whole idea that God can do the impossible. He does not always work through natural means. He can supersede that. Jesus can walk on water. Remember, he did that. He can go through doors. Remember, he did that. And he can do whatever he wants to do. He is sovereign. He typically, God typically works through the natural processes. And yet, just as the law of lift supersedes the law of gravity, in some ways, he can come in and supersede one of his natural laws and do something miraculous. So let's be those who say, Lord, I'm willing to believe that you can do a miracle. You are able to do a miracle. And let's be open to that possibility of the various miracles that God can perform in our lives. And so let's have sensitive spirits as far as our attitudes, our hearts. It's like, Lord, how would you have me pray? And sometimes we are to take a stand and say, Lord, this is what I think you're putting in my heart to pray. Mountain, go into the sea. Go into the sea. And it's like, it's not our strength. It's not even our faith. Our faith isn't even, it's a response of trust to the Lord. It's God who gets the glory for anything that takes place that supersedes sort of the natural laws that he's put in place. So prayers of faith, let's be open to that. Let's be wide open to that. So words of commitment, words of prayer, and then words of song in verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. So there is such a need to cultivate a heart of thanksgiving. It's so easy to be wrapped up in what we're going through. It's so easy to get wrapped up in who has blindsided us, or it's so easy to get wrapped up in worry, like, oh, what's going to happen, and how's it going to go, and who, you know, how am I going to be provided for, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Those are issues that we all have. And yet it's important to learn how to be thankful. And say, Lord, you said in your word that you want me to be thankful in all things. And there's another place where it says be thankful for all things. I was like, thankful for even sin? Well, not really. But thankful for the fact that God can use everything, even the bad, dark times in our lives, and even the sinful chapters of the drunk driver who crosses the median and kills someone we love. And somehow he could use that for good. He can use it for good. And so we're to be thankful in all times. There's an underlying thankfulness that pleases the Lord as we're thankful for what? For who God is. He is all loving. He's all merciful. He's all powerful. The aspects, the different attributes of God are breathless and amazing. So we thank God for who he is, and that's stable no matter what circumstances are thrown at us. And we praise him also for what he has done, what he has done, is doing, will do. We just praise him with thanksgiving. And so let's cultivate a heart that would be very thankful. And how many times have we said, thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you, Lord, for that. One of the reasons we say grace is it teaches us how to be thankful to the Lord for the small, the daily provision of food. We do it sincerely. Lord, thank you. This food ultimately is coming from you. You gave me grace for either growing food or to grow food or to have a job and earn money and to get food, or you provided through the food pantry, or somehow you provided in some wonderful way. It came from you, no matter what. And so we just thank him. And so that's just a microcosm of a heart of thanksgiving that would please the Lord to cultivate. So let's be thankful. Lord, even for the tough chapters, Lord, I don't understand what I'm going through, but I thank you in the midst of it for your faithfulness and for who you are. I know you're going to get me through. I know you're going to provide. I know you're going to do the things you've promised to do. And I know you're going to somehow bring good out of even this tough chapter that I'm going through. And so we stand strong in that. So words of song. Also words of confession, a fourth type of words we speak. Words of commitment, words of prayer, words of song, words of confession. In verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So the whole idea of confessing our trespasses one to another, there's a time to say, you know, I need to be approaching the Lord. I want you to pray with me as I just confess some sins or some things I've been wrestling with. I want to renounce some sins of the past. I need you to stand with me as I really seek the Lord on this. Or if we've hurt someone, we are to confess our sins that, you know, I'm so sorry for being insensitive. I'm so sorry for hurting you. I did not intend to do that, but I am sorry for my insensitivity, or I'm sorry for something I've done that has been unscriptural or something wrong. And so words of confession, it takes humility to confess, it takes humility to admit we're wrong, totally dead wrong, no excuses. Our natural tendency, our fleshly tendency is to point fingers. Our fleshly tendency is to accuse others. Our fleshly tendency is to try to cover over our own sin. But really, we need to be admitting our own sin to the Lord and allowing him to provide the covering. He provides the forgiveness. He's the one who provided the skins for Adam and Eve when they fell. And so the sense of he is the one who actually covers our sins. So we don't really cover our own sins. But it takes humility. And the benefit of doing that, it restores fellowship. When we sin in some way, we're breaking our fellowship with the Lord. And it doesn't mean we're unsaved all of a sudden, but we're breaking our fellowship. And when we wrong other people, we're breaking our fellowship with them as well. So confession helps to restore fellowship, close, vibrant fellowship with the Lord and fellowship with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Lastly, words of restoration, as far as a fifth and final type of wording or words that we speak, words of restoration. Verse 19, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Words of restoration. So if someone is wandering from the truth, someone among you is wandering from the truth, and someone intercedes and helps to turn that person back, that is awesome. You're turning a sinner from the error of his ways, saving a soul from death, and covering a multitude of sins. And that is special, to be used to do that. And again, it's God who covers, and yet we're part of the process that brought that person back. So helping someone turn. Who knows the people God may want us to reach and speak into their lives to help them? They're on the verge of a precipice, and they need to hear that, hey, there's another way. You've got another way. Do not go over the cliff. Do not do it. Jesus gives hope. And Jesus wants to work in your life. The risen Christ can give you strength to face whatever you're facing and whatever you're discouraged by. So stand strong. Stand strong. Help someone turn. And that brings life. It keeps people from, keeps a genuine believer from a deathly kind of experience. And it keeps someone who's not a genuine believer, it saves their soul. And it literally saves their soul. So we want to be used to bring life and to offer forgiveness, the forgiveness that Jesus offers. So various kinds of words that we speak, words of commitment, words of prayer, words of song, words of confession, and words of restoration. Application regarding all of this as far as types of words that we speak. Application, words of commitment, let's keep it simple. Regarding the words we speak, let's keep it simple. Let's be faithful to do the things we've promised to do. Remember, that's one of the aspects of a growing believer. Originally, it was fat, faithful, available, and teachable. And then it became flat, faithful, loyal, available, and teachable. I think the latest is float. Faithful, loyal, is orthodox, you know, just centered on the Lord and his word. And then available and teachable, float. So faithful is in all of them, whether you're fat, flat, or you float. And so we want to cultivate believers who float. And I'm not sure how far we'll run with that one, but the whole idea of let's be those who are faithful. If we commit to doing a ministry in the church, there can be a time to say, boy, this is not a match. Dave, I'm doing more of a disservice than a benefit. Let me please release me from it. There must be another area of ministry. That's fine to say, okay, you discovered something, and that's a good thing. At the same time, it's like, you know, let's make sure when we take something on, others are relying on us, and we have an opportunity to really bless people. So let's be faithful to do the things we've committed ourselves to doing. And if we've messed up in the past, we just say, hey, Lord, from now on, I want to be faithful. You know, forgive me for the past. I want to be faithful to do the things that you had placed in my heart. I want to just do them. I want to let my yes be yes, my no be no. So keep it simple and be faithful. Regarding prayers of suffering, if you're in the fire, you feel like you're in the middle of the fire, cry out to the Lord. Cry out. Don't take matters into your own hands. Cry out. It's like, Lord, I look up in the midst of the flames that I'm in. I look up and I look to see what you are doing and what you are saying. Prayers of healing, if you're hurting in some way, if you're sick in some way, you're hurting emotionally or somehow hurting, ask for prayer. So ask God for prayer or ask God to heal you. But part of that process, calling the elders, they anoint you and they we just desire healing. And leave the timing up to him. It's like, Lord, I just trust that you're going to bring healing, whether now instantaneously or whether it's manifested tomorrow or the next day, or you use a doctor visit or two to be part of the process, or you know, or it's the other side of eternity. You're giving me grace on this side of eternity your grace is sufficient for me at this time. And Lord, in my weakness, I'm finding that you're strong and I'm relying on you. And that the healing isn't manifested or open for all to see until the other side of eternity, until Jesus comes back or we die and go to be with him, and whichever comes first. But we know that we will be healed. And so it's a matter of leaving the timing up to him. Prayers of faith. Is God about to do a miracle in your life? Is there some miracle that he wants to do? And we're limiting him because we don't believe he's really a miracle-working God. Well, he is a miracle-working God. So let's be those who are standing strong in who God is. And Lord, we just want to be people of faith. Faith really boils down to trust. You're trusting in God. You're trusting in his word. That's what faith is all about. Is God about to do a miracle in your life? And I'm not dangling something in front of you to get all your hopes up. And then it's like, it doesn't happen. It didn't happen. And it's like, no, be open. And just as the Lord puts something in your heart to pray for, just be open and stand strong. And he can sort of change it. If we're sort of missing it a little bit, he can sort of work in our lives and work in our hearts and sort of tweak things as far as that's not quite where I want you to pray. And he has a way of doing that. He gently works in our lives, brings correction, and brings sort of his purposes about. Words of song. Let's be those who are thanking God. Let's not be consumed with our worries. Let's not be consumed with other things that distract us. Let's spend a lot of time thanking God. Not just for our meals, not just for our food, even though that's a good thing to do. but thanking him just throughout the day. Lord, thank you so much. You might say, well, what has he done for me lately? Well, he's given you air to breathe just now in the last 30 seconds. And he gives you clothes, and he gives you shelter, and he gives you food. And he doesn't promise a whole lot in addition to that as far as the practical aspects of life. But he'll provide for us, and we can trust him with that. But let's thank him. Let's thank him. Now, it's in the context of song as far as sing psalms. Let's get some good music in our lives. Music is so powerful as far as the way it can penetrate the soul. It even worked in hard-hearted Saul. Remember, David would be used to play, and Saul was somehow ministered to. And even though he was a hard-hearted man, he was ministered to. So how much more someone who loves the Lord, who has a soft heart before God? And so let's get some good music in our lives, and let's be open to making music. There's going to come a day when we're going to see songs that are, in fact, that's already started. We've had one or two songs written locally in this church. One we've already sung a couple of times. We haven't said, this is a song we've written, or this is a song that's been written in the church, but they're sort of low profile. But there's one already that's been written that we've already sung, and there's another one sort of in the works. And let's be open to making music. And who knows? If we have a musical gift in some way, whether it's playing guitar or whether it's drums or whether it's bass or whether it's being a vocalist, who knows what God could do through us and through that either natural gift / spiritually charged gift that he's given us if it's submitted to him. And so let's be open. We could someday have a team of kids, kids choir, that is able to have doors open up for them in nursing homes and other places. The people would love that kind of thing. Or teens who are strong enough to say, I'm just going to serve the Lord, and I'm going to rock on, but for Jesus. And there's just something powerful about that. People often listen to the artists more than they do, unfortunately, more than they do the preachers and the teachers and others. They listen to the artists big time. Listen to athletes, listen to artists, the heroes of the day. And so if God is raising up for us in our midst, those who are saying, I'm not going to play for my own glory. I'm not going to play even just for my own pleasure. I'm going to pray, Lord, I'm going to play for your glory. Lord, help me to be the best guitar player I can be for your glory. Help me to be the best vocalist I can be for your glory. And there's, boy, the doors he can open up with that kind of heart and skills that he has imparted and develops then in our lives, it's possible that some amazing things can happen. So it's just the beginning of that as far as for us as a fellowship. But I think it's going to be really exciting. And then words of confession, let's not cover up our sin. Let's take ownership, complete ownership of our sin. And we lay it at the foot of the cross and say, Lord, forgive me. And help me to ask for forgiveness of anyone who I really need to ask for forgiveness of. Anyone I've really wronged in a very clear way. And the Holy Spirit's convicted me. So words of confession. Let's not cover up our sin. Let's not blame others. Let's not become bitter or vindictive. Let's be those who are willing to admit, man, I totally blew it, and are open to that. And God loves that kind of heart. And then lastly, words of restoration. Is there someone who needs restoration? And you know that person, and you care about that person very much. And they're either heading toward a cliff, or you know that their situation is not good, that they're not walking in a good way. They need some kind of intervention. So start praying for that individual, or continue to pray for that individual and say, Lord, only you can change a heart. And sometimes our hearts are hard. So, Lord, I pray that you would just change this very hard-hearted heart and give this person a heart of flesh, not a heart of stone. And then be open, whether it's just prayer, or whether it's our example, or whether it's writing a card, or sending a text, or sending an email to an old friend, or whatever, whoever it is. Let's be open to being used to help restore other people. Professing believers who've strayed, or people used to be just totally on fire, and yet they're just sort of wavering and struggling now. And they're not, they're doubting and they're worrying and all that. and they need to be sort of brought back to a place of simple faith in the Lord. Or others who've never professed Christ, and they're just hard-hearted about their path and running their own lives. And they need to know that there is hope that's available to them. There's forgiveness available to them. And they need to know there's another path that can be offered to them. And it's like, Lord, help us. I pray that you would soften the heart. So the words we speak, the 7,000 words that a man speaks, the 20,000 words that a woman speaks on a daily basis, may they be words that are words of commitment, words of prayers of suffering, prayers of healing, prayers of faith, words of song, words of confession, words of restoration. This is just a glimpse of the kinds of words that God wants us to be speaking. It's a wonderful book, isn't it? As far as James, very practical. Wisdom literature, it's like Proverbs applied to the New Testament view of Proverbs in some ways. It's just wonderful. Father, we thank you for this time in your word. Thank you, Lord, for how practical it is as far as you deal with the practical issues in our lives. And Lord, we want hearts that are just totally, really focused on you and in love with you, that we would love you just with our heart, all our soul, all our mind. And Lord, use us to speak words that bring life to others. Use us to speak words that are going to be pleasing to you. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives. And I thank you for your faithfulness. And I pray that you'd help us to cultivate wonderfully thankful hearts. And Lord, that you'd just continue to work. Thank you for this wonderful book of the Bible, this epistle of James. And thank you, Lord, for the insights that you gave him, that the Holy Spirit penned it through James in such a wonderful way. And we just thank you for all of that. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.